It's here.
Hello?
Have you checked the children?
They're all pods, all of them.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
I'm afraid!
Don't be afraid!
No. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Here's Gingy.
Pain has a face. Allow me to show it to you. Gentlemen, I am pain.
I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face. The blackest eyes, the devil's eyes.
You think that when you die, you go to heaven. You come to us.
If he can't take a joke, he stinks.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.
Greetings, flesh wound horror freaks, and welcome to a brand new episode of Flesh Wound Horror. I'm Daniel Shine, joined as always by Todd Loya, and soon to be joined by Pug Stred a little later on in the show.
Oh, sure. you ruined the surprise. Jeez. Oh. Spoiler Dan strikes again.
Maybe you're a Pugs fan and you see us.
Oh, okay. Like, well, we know you're not, but hopefully other people are.
Everyone loves Pugs. He'll be on the second half. So yeah, Todd, how are you doing tonight, sir?
All goes well. Ready to talk some Vinegar Syndrome. We've been talking a lot lately, and this is like the last big package. We got a couple more. We got the The something weird?
AGFA titles. Yeah, we got the that drug scare flicks pack, which
AFGA.
Yeah, I'm very excited to dive into that. And then we have
McPherson tapes.
Yes, sci-fi movie I'm looking forward to checking out as well. So yeah, we're getting towards the end, but the good thing about Vinegar Syndrome is they're always pumping out great products. So it won't be
they just announced their June lineup today, or sorry, July lineup today, and we should be getting the June ones soon. So
yeah, I was gonna say so.
It'll be time. We'll have another Vinegar Syndrome show very soon.
absolutely. I love those old-timey scare flick, so I'm kind of excited to check that out. It's weird. I've never been a drug guy or anything, but I do really enjoy those quite a bit.
Yet you don't really like sports movies.
We just reviewed Rad, which, by the way, you'll want to listen to.
See, I don't even consider that a sports movie. I mean, then there's the whole argument, is BMX a sport, but we did love it, so you can go listen to that.
Yeah, you will have to go listen to that. I mean I do when it's more of a sex comedy. Hot Dog the movie. I like I said, Rad's an exception. I actually really like that movie. I was surprised, and especially seeing it later in life. So Out Cold is another one I liked, for more recent-ish one. That's a PG-13 film.
Recent-ish, like over, like probably like 20 years old.
Like 18. I'm just saying that is recent-ish.
That's not recent-ish.
God damn it.
You're saying like a movie that's almost 20 years old is recent. I mean, do you not see the problem with that?
That was, well, I don't want to say the first film, but the first major film I saw Zach Galifianakis in. Gets his dingus caught in a hot tub jet. Pretty funny. So check that one out. But anyways, we're not here to talk about Zach Galifianakis. We're here to talk some Vinegar Syndrome.
I just looked it up, 2001. So yeah,
less than 20 years. So next year it won't be.
Recent. No, I said about 20 years. So.
anyways. Oh wow. I'm not young anymore, am I? I saw that in theaters. Lee Majors was also in it.
Not at all.
All right. So our first film of the evening comes from 1989 and director Joel Bender, and it is The Immortalizer. Greg assumed it would be just another night out with friends, but things take an unexpected turn when he, his brother, and their girlfriends are kidnapped by the crazed Dr. Divine. The doctor, a twisted genius, has developed a radical method of life extension, transplanting the brains of his elderly and very wealthy patients into the bodies of the young. When Greg escapes from the doctor's lair, but finds the local police unwilling to accept his story, he realizes that it'll be up to him to put an end to the doctor's diabolical treatments or run the risk of him and his friends losing their heads, literally. Directed by career genre filmmaker Joel Bender, The Immortalizer revels in bloody surgical sequences, ubiquitous nudity, and a mad doctor story that plays thematically as though the film were a 1930s Poverty Row horror feature updated for the late 80s exploitation market. Featuring colorful cinematography from four-time Emmy nominee Alan Caso and a supporting performance from Melody Patterson of TV's F Troop, Vinegar Syndrome brings The Immortalizer to Blu-ray in a brand new 2K restoration. I had seen this ages ago. Again, another one. Never saw it since video. It was one that I always kind of remembered the cover art from back in the day. I can remember. It's one that for some reason, I know a lot of friends I have get it mixed up with Rejuvenator, which is another one I hope to actually see come out at some point. Still on that list of 80s films. Come out. But this one finally has. I didn't really remember a whole lot about it. It's kind of a film that borrows from a lot of different things. You know, there's definitely a little bit of Reanimator there, of course, with the serum. There's a little bit of kind of the Wasp woman with the characters, you know, trying to maintain, or recapture their youth, I should say, which is also a theme with Rejuvenator, if memory serves. It's interesting revisiting this. It's not a gory film. For some reason, I remembered that it was, but it's pretty well made. It's definitely low budget. The makeup effects are a little bit limited, but this film is never boring. It flows quite well. I thought the old lady who helps our hero in this was probably the highlight. It could have gone a little bit harder on the gore, and I think maybe it would have been remembered a little bit better, but nonetheless, I thought it was actually fun. There's some welcome gratuitous nudity. There's not a whole lot of downtime in this film, and like I said, not a lot of gore, but there's a few bits here. What did you think, Todd?
I believe I saw this back in the day, but I can't really nail down. I know I've seen Rejuvenator because I have it on Laserdisc. This one, I don't know, kind of reminded me of Us. I don't know if Jordan Peele like curbed some notes from this one.
He ripped it off.
we have to tell Plugs that too. He's gonna be mad he didn't review this one now. It's fun. You're right. Is it the greatest? No, but it keeps the momentum going in, and it's never not entertaining. I think this is one of the better late 80s entries. I know some people are down on it, but it's just fun. Start to finish. It keeps going.
Yeah, definitely. I wasn't too sure because, like I said, Rejuvenator is the one in my childhood mind that I remember and I remember liking. And I'm kind of curious, hopefully, whenever that does come out again to see, you know, that lives up to my expectations. This one, I just didn't quite recall. I remembered, like, the mutants and the alleyway and everything. For the most part, just really didn't remember a lot about it. No, I'm pleased to say it's actually a pretty entertaining little movie. It's certainly very campy in parts, and like you said, a little mix of everything. And definitely, I think Jordan Peele probably rented this back in the day. Mm-hmm. I still feel your beef with him is over the inaccuracies of the Chud VHS.
You were done. Yeah, I checked out. I was like, okay, it's a time travel movie now. I remember I said, I confused the hell out of Bucks. He's like, wait, did I miss something? Well, they were obviously time travelers if they had a VHS tape from like 5 years later.
I'm surprised somebody didn't catch that for that.
I don't,
you know, I mean,
I'm surprised he didn't catch it.
Yeah, see, because that would bother me more if I made a movie and I made that kind of a mistake than if it was like, oh, that effect looks like shit. I think that would bother me more. So,
100% bother me. Like, I liked what is the other 80s one? Take Me Home Tonight. I thought it was a fun one, but yeah, it's like so that. Historically inaccurate with like all, like they go into the video store and they have like the 19 or like Jesus, one of the latest Vertigo DVDs or tapes, and it's got like the foil cover. I'm like, that is from anywhere near the 80s. That's like late 90s.
I think that's what happens though when you have people that weren't around in the 80s, you know, working on them. They just, you know, slips past them. But yes, anyways, Immortalizer.
Side rants.
Side rants. Yeah, I had a good time. It's had a little bit of everything. And, you know, it's one of those ones, obviously, they were maybe hoping they could do a follow-up. Obviously, it didn't happen. But, yeah, I had a good time with this one. This has definitely been on that stack of I used to have a list, and it's been getting smaller. Vinegar Syndrome is a big reason why, but of particularly 80s and 90s stuff that hasn't made it to disc that I'm looking for. I've still, you know, or at least disc in the US, and you know, Cast a Deadly Spell, Necronomicon.
Cast a Deadly Spell is on HBO Max right now. And HD.
Yes. Oh man, HBO! Come on, let somebody put the damn thing out on Blu-ray, please. That is such a good movie.
It would be Scream Factory since Warner owns it. So,
yeah, hopefully.
I wonder if they're going to tighten up their grip because they want to put all this stuff on HBO Max. Hopefully not.
I mean, that's probably niche though for most of you know what I mean. Like, I don't think it's going to hurt your business if you let somebody put that out on Blu-ray. But Immortalizer is. It's a lot of fun. Nothing that's going to, like, blow your mind, but it's a good time. It's paced well. I'm really happy to see that they put it out. I give this one a 3.5. What say you, Todd?
Oh, you liked it a little more than me. I'm a 3. It was solid. It was entertaining. I definitely say it's worth checking out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if anybody hears purring, it's my two new cats. They like to sit like right underneath my desk.
You know, Dan, if you Noel sold it, no one would know. So
I could say it was Tribbles. I could have made a Star Trek reference, but I won't do that because Todd gets triggered.
Or you could just, you know.
I think they like it. It's if that even comes through, it's peaceful. Anyway.
Thank you, Pugs. You threw him off.
I don't have to let people know because he's not on yet. But anyways, on the extra front, extras front, we have Making a Crazy Movie, an interview with the director Joel Bender. He talks a little bit about making Gas Pump Girls, which of course was a huge drive-in hit, and kind of gets into his history in the business a little bit. Talks without really thinking this was just a full-on comedy when he read the script. We also get Philosophy of Light, an interview with the cinematographer Alan Queso that runs 10 minutes. And he kind of talks a little bit about the lack of time and budget for high-end makeup, so keeping the creatures in the shadows, which you can kind of see, but, you know, it works. Pretty good little technical commentary. And on the cat front, he even saved a cat on this that became his cat. So, yeah, good stories, good vibes. And that is The Immortalizer. Moving on to our next film of the evening, which is The Severed Arm, which is from director Thomas S. Alderman, and it is from 1973. While camping, a group of friends become trapped in a cave. Desperate and starving, they draw straws to decide which one would suffer the severing of his arm so that the others can eat. But no sooner than making this fateful amputation, they're rescued. Though their unfortunate victim has been driven hopelessly mad by the experience. Years later, the survivors have all moved on with their lives. That is, until someone with a very sharp axe to grind begins stalking them and chopping off their arms one by one. A drive-in and home video staple, thanks in large part to a notorious title and an insane concept, Thomas Alderman's The Severed Arm is a stylish and atmospheric murder mystery slash proto-slasher. Starring Deborah Wally, along with Marvin Kaplan and Vince Martorano, and featuring expectedly excellent cinematography from Robert Maxwell, Vinegar Syndrome presents The Severed Arm, fully uncut in its official disc debut, newly restored from a fresh 4K scan of its 35mm camera negative. All right. So, Severed Arm. Definitely the best this film has ever looked. I want to say it was on a double feature on Code Red, I think, with So Sad About Gloria, if memory serves. Yeah. This is definitely the superior version of it, as you'd expect from Vinegar Syndrome. This is an interesting concept, kind of getting into the Donner Party story, which that's interesting. That's interesting. I feel like I would choose death over eating somebody, but I don't know.
The other red meat.
when do you decide to like kill the weakling in the group, Todd?
About 6 hours.
That's fucked up.
Depends how hungry you are.
I skipped lunch. I've got that little headache. Motherfucker, you're done.
You see how I get when I'm hungry? Pugs will be like 20 minutes is the acceptable amount of time.
Damn. That is hardcore. I guess you want to take them out, though, too, before you're like too weak to do anything. So that also makes sense. Well, Todd, no remote locations. I'd probably allow it to happen, though. I'll tell you what. You had that James Franco movie, 127 hours. I come out, no arm, but I'm getting a movie made about me. Get to cash in on the book. So, you know. But anyways.
Yeah, but you have to have James Franco play you, so.
I love James Franco. Franco's awesome.
You know what? You know, we're going to get into this.
Wear my hat? I'll, like, send it to him. I would let James Franco wear this hat.
But you know what? It's not going to be. And it's not going to be, who did you pick?
Oh, shut up, Todd. What is it? Jonah Hill? You're going to give me some fun.
No, my God, no. It's going to be Haley Joel Osment.
Oh, that's fucking personal. Oh, that's like calling my daughter, if I had a daughter, a whore. Dude. That's like
I can see him with the hat on.
That's fucked up.
Well, that's fucked up. God, no, you don't.
I would disown the movie if they cast him. In fact, now I'm putting it in the fucking contract that it can't be an hideous fucking creature. If he were in this movie, It would turn into The Descent. If he just showed the fuck up to rescue them, they'd think he was like some subterranean fucking creature.
That's what you did.
You have Haley Joel Osment.
You know what? It's my fault. Hold on.
He'd be like that bat creature that's always in like the week.
God, see, this is my fault. I brought up Haley Joel Osment. Now he's going to go on a rant. We're focusing, Dan.
All right. And rant. Just don't do that. But anyways, severed arm. This one's a pretty good time. It's definitely a low budget movie, but the concept kind of works, and it is very early in the game in terms of slasher flicks. So truthfully, if you're a big slasher aficionado, it's worth checking out. I think the scene in the radio station was actually quite good. I thought that was pretty cool. Obviously, you know, this is a little bit before the era of Savini, where we started getting, you know, more elaborate kills. But, you know, it works. It's a pretty cool story. Again, you know, kind of playing off the Donner Party situation, which I'm trying to remember what year that was. But what did you think of Severed Arm, Todd?
It's not my favorite. It never has been. I think it's the best it's looked. There's some, like you mentioned, the radio DJs or the radio station scene is probably the standout for me, but yeah, this one's a little weaker for me. I'm glad it's got the release, but it's one of those I've seen a few times and I always am like, it's not my favorite.
Okay. Yeah, I thought, you know, there's a scene with the noose that I think was also pretty cool. I actually like this one. I think it's, if you are a slasher aficionado, it is one you should probably check out because, again, very early in the
game. I'm going to say this go in with low expectations, though.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a horror masterpiece or anything. I think my biggest beef with this one, I don't want to say character decisions, but there's not that sense of urgency with some of the characters that there should be.
It's a little light on the horror elements too. I mean, this is borderline TV movie, which isn't a bad thing. There's some really good TV movies, but it kind of has that feel to me. And it's just that late 70s vibe, that 73. Well, that's what I meant. I said 73, but I said
late. I was just correcting you because, yeah.
No. No, you're right. I did say the correct year, though. At least I got that right.
But this would be a good time for TV movies.
But overall, yeah.
It's like I said, it's not a masterpiece. I'm glad they put this one out though, because it's. I mean, I don't want to say the double feature for Code Red looked shitty, but it didn't look great.
It wasn't uncut. It was missing some stuff, I believe.
Yeah, I think it was one of the ranted about titles that I don't know what – I can't remember what it was missing.
It was missing a tiny thing that was only on a different print, like some weird – it was one of those – yeah.
Little things, was, yeah.
Yeah.
But having said that
– But everything's here.
Yeah, everything's here. And I think the cast is pretty good. Vince Martorano, who was in Candy Snatchers. We reviewed that one not too long ago. Really good actor. And it doesn't quite hit that boiling point of suspense that it needs to, but I did like it. I give it 2.5. What say you, sir?
I'm actually, it's funny. You sound like it was going to be much higher. I'm a 2.5 too. It's average.
I think we're close. I favored it. Maybe just a pinch, but the rating's the same. So,
you just sugarcoated a little bit more than me.
Yeah, like I said, if you've never, you should check it out if you want, you know, the true history of slashers. This is one of the early ones. And on the extras front, we get a cut above the rest, an interview with producer Gary Adelman. He talks a little bit about some of the carryover from Candy Snatchers using Vince Martorano again, which Candy Snatchers is an amazing movie. You guys should definitely go back and look at our review. I want to say it's last few months or so. I think it was fairly recent. It talks the ultra low budget, some of the drive-in success. He had a really interesting point about the real death of drive-ins, which he said it was the rise of bucket seats in cars, which he thought was something I've never actually heard that before. I don't necessarily agree. I think multiplexes were the main reason that that drive-ins died, although they're coming back a little bit. But interesting interview. We also have Severing the Past, an interview with actor Vince Martorano. This is a cool little piece, short interview, but he talks about also, again, the budget, using a lot of cast homes for the shoot. He talks a little bit about signing his first contract and how he didn't really leave acting but had to focus on other things. So that is The Severed Arm. And again, this looks as great as it's ever going to look. Vinegar Syndrome is always. All right. And I think it is time to bring on the third man.
Yes, brother. And he likes the same words, so it actually works quite well.
Oh,
what? Yo. Sorry, I'm late, but it's okay. I'm not keeping it.
Oh. All right. Well, there you go.
So Pug, I heard y'all talking crap, or if you wanted to talk crap about Jordan Peele, tag me in.
The Immortalizer looks like it. There's quite a few connections to us if you watch The Immortalizer. So I think he might have took some notes.
They've been known to steal, so I'm not surprised at all.
The eyes! Dan. Okay, here's what I don't get. Dan was like a poker player, but he has no poker face.
Well, I don't have people saying stuff like that.
Were you a good poker player? Like, we never got that far.
I mean, I was making a living at it for a while. I'm not bad, but not as much since I've come to Atlanta. But
so, in other words, all we need to have to do to make Dan lose all of his money is have Pugs just say off-color things.
Off-color, of-color, who knows?
Yes. You want to make me say it, like, in the first 5 minutes, Pugs. Messed up.
I know what we're going to jump into, but real quick, we're going to Patty Hearst next, so just so you know. Mm-hmm. But before we even do the description, I'm going to ask you, because you weren't familiar with the case. Did you look into the case before you watched it or after you watched it or just watched it?
Actually, once it started going, I was familiar with the case.
Okay.
I just didn't recognize the name.
Okay.
Have they done a last podcast on the left about it? Because no. I haven't heard it. Okay, that's interesting that they haven't. This seems right up their alley.
They probably don't want to get into the race, really. Well, they do that shit too. So, but no,
maybe not yet. Maybe not. Maybe not this year. Maybe give it some time.
give that 2021. Yeah.
Pussies, here we go.
No. But anyways, yes, Patty Hearst, first time watch for Pugs. That's interesting. I'm kind of surprised, Pugs. This is one I figured for sure. I wouldn't have even thought to ask you. So this is from 1988 and director Paul Schrader, legendary Paul Schrader. In 1974, Hearst Publications heiress Patricia Hearst, played by Natasha Richardson, was kidnapped by a group of radical revolutionaries named the Siboneyes Liberation Army. As her ordeal dragged on, Hearst slowly began to transform from unwilling victim into an accomplice to her kidnapper's cause, resulting in a notorious and violent crime spree that shook the very fabric of American culture and soon began to beg the question of how much her involvement was in fact forced. From acclaimed and visionary director Paul Schrader, comes this Cannes Palme d'Or nominated suspenseful cinematic retelling of one of the most infamous and explosive true crime stories of the second half of the 20th century. Patty Hearst, co-starring William Forsythe, Ving Rhames, Francis Fischer, and photographed by Bojan Bozelli, Vinegar Syndrome is proud to present the worldwide Blu-ray debut of Patty Hearst in a brand new 2K restoration. All right, so Pugs, what did you think of Patty Hearst?
Well, seeing as it was my first time, I really didn't know what to expect and not remembering this lady's name. And then once shit started going on, I was like, oh, they're going to do some bank shit later. And then, yeah, I clicked. I thought it was excellent. Let's see. Well, I don't want to start with negatives, but I think revolutionary people are fucking annoying. So I was highly annoyed by Ving Rhames and his wannabe black gang.
Oh, you know what's crazy?
That line was
hilarious. That was 2 years. 2 years before Pulp Fiction, he looked so much younger.
Really? Bro, 6 years, right? What,
Pulp Fiction? Oh, okay, you know what? I have my dates wrong. And no, it's okay. Yeah, I'm looking.
Like, man, he must. That Patty Hearst bank must have did him good because he lived it
up. I have Blood Games window open too, so my math was wrong.
I'm excited to talk about that one. Patty Hearst. Yeah, those guys were too radical for me. And William Forsythe saying, I want to be black.
I was dying. But he had that wig on.
And then also when they come down the stairs all wearing blackface, I'm like, this is problematic. But all that being said, I thought it was freaking great. When the Stockholm Syndrome kicked in, I wasn't sure if she was serious or not. We still don't really get like a full blown, was she serious or was she doing this to survive? Because she didn't trust them to let him go. Yeah, fascinating. This poor girl. And they fucking use her and pass her around like a fleshlight. So that's kind of interesting. Yeah, it was very cool. I'm glad I finally watched this, not knowing I was missing out.
Do you know that? I don't know if you remember. This is just a little tidbit that Bill Clinton's last, like, official act before he left Harvest was he gave her a presidential pardon.
I did not. No. Of course he did, because he liked her getting passed around. He knows what's up. Bill Clinton, the first black president.
That's
did,
right.
Did Hillary orchestrate the skiing incident?
Oh, jeez.
that hits you on delay, Todd.
Yeah. I was just like, that was bad.
It was, but it came to me, so I said it. But anyways, Pug's question for you. The real Patty Hearst, what do you think?
Stockholm Syndrome.
So you think that was it? She wasn't just, you know.
No, bored. I don't. She was like malnourished, and she had. This is just, well, let me behave myself. This is just like when a person goes to jail and has to join a racial gang and you just adapt to survive. And then it's kind of hard to let go. Plus, you're fed this bullshit every fucking day. And they're loud and intimidating. And she's just a little girl. She's just in college. Like, yeah. I think Stockholm Syndrome got to her.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know, though. That was, you know, that time a lot of people tended to, you know, grab, well, people are pretty fucking annoying today, too, but tend to gravitate towards these, you know, loony sort of fringe groups. And I don't know. I'm not as 100% on board with Stockholm, but it could be. It could be. I don't know, but it's a fascinating case and a pretty fascinating movie. Let's see. We already fat shamed Ving Rhames. He definitely hit the buffets after this one.
At least William he had Forsythe. A few years.
William Forsythe's pretty fat, too, but it took him a while. You know, he kind of hit it in his old age. So
he was gradual.
Natasha Richardson is all bones now.
I remember seeing him at a fucking con in his high shorts. I'm like, dude, it's no longer the 70s. Right around the knee. It doesn't need to be like just covering your dickhead.
I think right now it's like, I got a thin dick, but I can't see it anymore.
He likes old school shorts, you know. Some of us are stuck on our ways.
I mean, that's cool, but in public, dude. <you're> not... And also, we're trying to take a photo with you. Now if we can go behind the table, that'd be cool.
I'm waiting for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to hit the court when he's wearing those things.
Oh, man.
It was crazy. That was the fashion. I don't get it. I still don't.
Thanks to jock straps, they never fell out, I guess.
Well, Three's Company, you can see John Ritter's balls in one of the episodes.
Oh, god damn it, Todd.
I've never known.
Yeah.
I'm going to do Google search later.
I will not be doing that Google search.
Okay, it's bookmarked already, Dan. We get it.
Oh, it's fucked up. Wait for
it to hit Blu-ray so we can really see it.
I don't want to see John Ritter's balls in 1080p. That's just messed up. But anyways. So this is kind of an ironic movie to be watching right now. There's several moments.
Very timely.
Yeah, definitely. That play. I kind of wonder what they were thinking. When they were like, oh, wow.
I doubt they had this in mind. Like, everything's in motion already. Too fucking bad.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely.
We need it to go out.
There are, I mean, I think this is a great film. Again, a lot of actors that went on to prominence in this one. There are some moments that are kind of funny in a what the fuck way. Like, but... Yeah, no, I didn't watch this in a very long time, and I had a really good time with it. There's certain things that, like I said, again, kind of funny now, like the interview with her. Did you witness lesbian activity?
That is Dan questioning for sure. Promote this man to captain.
Spits in his hand. It's like, continue in detail. Yeah, I mean, obviously there's not a lot of clear answers here. This film doesn't, you know, kind of make its own judgments on it, but nonetheless, fascinating case. If you don't know about it, you should look into it, because, you know, that it's, I don't think we'll ever know for sure, but.
Well, that's beautiful. Dan stopped talking for a moment.
Todd, give your thoughts.
You know, I'm going to go back to his Slim Shady thing. He didn't go with Vanilla Ice. At least he nails all the, but whatever. Okay. Oh, Dan's back. Right. So sorry.
Did I disappear?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't see my.
It's all right. I'm sure it wasn't anything of importance. No, sorry, Dan. What were you saying? Yeah, you froze. So we were just talking about your choice of Slim Shady over Vanilla Ice.
I don't know. It just came to me. I was apologizing for like making three Natasha Richardson deaf jokes because she was a great actress.
Mm. Okay.
She just she can't act alive anymore, but she's really good. Oh. I can't help myself. I'm sorry. Pugs writes all this shit, and then it.
What like, did she? I don't even remember what she died of.
Ski accident, and it was avoidable because she didn't get checked out. She went back like to her room or something, and she hit her head harder than she. Yeah, so.
Hence Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, or yeah, that maybe that happened. I don't know. But yeah, that was right before
My banks, bitch.
Right before Taken came out and Liam Neeson found new life as a senior citizen action star. I still remember that. But yeah, Todd, you were saying.
I was.
Maybe you were.
You were going to review and give your thoughts on the movie?
Oh, I fucking love it. it is. It's one of those true crime ones from like the era that you don't really. There's not a lot from that era, I don't think. And this one is like such a unique case because you really don't know. I mean, it's based off her book. So it's her word, but it creates an interesting debate. But the film as it is, I do really enjoy.
Yeah, I'd be curious to actually. I don't think I've ever actually read the book. I know the case, but I'm going to have to kind of get it after this and see, because it did kind of make me want to do a bit of a deep dive. So if you haven't checked out Patty Hearst, I highly recommend this one. Grab it now. This was a pleasant surprise.
I will say I would love the exploitation version of this.
Fuck yeah.
Who do you get?
I knew Dan was going to go straight to casting.
Fan casting. I want Tarantino or someone Tarantino like to direct it. Margot Robbie.
Oh, there you go. Now, but here's the big question.
You're going do high, we, but yeah, that worked.
Do we alter history on this one, or do we?
You do. And how do you alter it?
You don't want to ask me that.
Well, you know, I would turn it into a women in prison film at one point. So
you know. You start where this movie ends. So it's a zero.
Yeah, fuck all this shit.
I see. With Tarantino, you automatically want to go Sam Jackson for the leader, but he feels a little too old for that.
Seems old, yeah.
He can pull it off, though. He's timeless. Samuel Jackson's timeless.
Wow. Did you just say black don't crack?
That's what I heard.
I said Samuel Jackson's timeless. I'm paying the gentleman a compliment. Still looks young.
No, I'm just saying. God, we're going to get heat. I know.
Damn. I call a guy timeless.
You know what? I would actually go Denzel over Sam. And he hasn't gone full Nicolas Cage in a while.
Virtuosity. Yes, I would like to see B-movie Denzel.
Nicolas Cage in the William Forsythe role.
Yeah.
I want to be back!
Here you speak like us. It's like, if you got to take a shit, you say you got to take a shit.
Hell yeah.
Hell, you could just have William Forsythe do it again. Just be an old man with old man titties. And he's got the shorts on. And
LBV has the shorts on.
Isn't he dead?
No.
Forsythe's not dead.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Unless he just died in like the last 2 days, in which case you just made this show very depressing.
No, I think he passed away.
Are you thinking of Bill Paxton?
No. Shit. Otis from Henry.
Oh, Tom Tolles.
I'm thinking of him.
He passed.
Todd, double check me.
He's alive. He's alive and well.
Okay, good.
But yeah, Tom Tolles definitely passed.
Okay. Well, that sucks. I brought it down. I'm sorry.
He lived.
Good.
There you
might
go.
Have some fucking shorts.
Oh, when he gets his Blu-ray royalties, he'll buy some shorts. But yeah, so again, this does have some humor that might not have been as present at the time, perhaps, but there are a few things that have grown to be kind of funny in this one, but nonetheless, I still think it's a fantastic film that you should definitely check out, and I give this one 4.5. What say you guys?
I'm actually on par. I'm a 4.5 also. I really do like this one.
Right on. I'm going solid 4. There's room for improvement, but like for the time it was made, fuck yeah.
Cool.
Absolutely.
This would be a good HBO Max series, like a six-parter or eight-parter.
Yeah, I would like to see somebody tackle this story again, because I mean, you really could, like you said, being that so much of it is left up to interpretation. I think, in all honesty, that could be a good way to go about it. Like,
just, you know, what would be kind of cool? Excuse me. Have you guys seen? I haven't finished the series yet, but what is it? The Affair.
I know of it. I haven't seen it though.
Yeah, I've watched it.
Okay, so it's an hour drama, but it's cut in half, and it's told, the first half is told through the eyes of one character, and then the second half is the same story told through the eyes of the of another character, and like you can see the differences. So if we went, like, each episode was a different militia character, and then the final one being Patty Hearst, what she saw, I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, there's a, that's been on my list. The Sinner's another one. It's like, you know who did the killing at the beginning, but it's, you know, figuring out why.
That was that USA show. It's on Netflix now, right?
Yeah, I think it might have moved. It had two seasons. Yeah, two seasons. Bill Pullman's on it.
Jessica Biel, I believe.
Yeah, Jessica Biel produces it, and she's in season one. But the extras front, telling her story, an interview with director Paul Schrader. It's a 12-minute interview. He talks a little bit about seeing the actual story unfold on TV, and talks a lot of directors kind of passing on it because they didn't know how to do a film with the first third basically taking place in a closet. Interesting short interview. Talks about casting Natasha, who had just come off of Gothic, another one we reviewed not too long ago. And, good interview. He's an interesting director. He did a film called The Canyons with Lindsay Lohan, and the story behind that is pretty funny.
And James Dean.
Yeah, yep. James Dean. There was a lot that went down on that film. He, at one point, I think she was, like, trying to get out of doing, like, a nude scene or something, and he got naked himself or something, and that was his solution, which probably now would not be such a good idea, but I guess
I don't want to see those freckles. We're good.
Still had a sense of humor at that time, but God, Lindsay Lohan's a fucking bitch. Jesus, some of the stories I've heard about her. So, all right. So our main
event. There goes Dan hating on women again. Now, I'm just going to say I'm slightly disappointed, Dan, because I know this and you didn't. You did not mention it. Oh, Biodome. Really? Stephen Baldwin's mother is played by Patty Hearst.
Oh, fuck, really?
She's also in a bunch of John Waters films.
I totally forgot about that. Oh, wow. Shit, now you make me want to go back and watch Biodome again.
Let's do it.
I remember seeing that in theaters and just being like, I want to fucking live in one of those for like a year. What a better
now,
way to do
now would be a good time.
Yeah, right? I was gonna say we can do Biodome too, where like they go in and then they come out and like, I don't know, everybody's dead.
Separate us from all the BLM nonsense.
Everybody's setting up their own mini countries. Funny to just like emerge from the
they dome. Can accuse us of allegations, but like we gotta wait a year without all this bullshit. We're good for a year.
Oh wow. They just like go to like peek out and it's like everything's like on fire. It looks like a there's an interesting sci-fi version that could be made of Biodome. I mean they've tackled similar territory, but I do. Oh, that's interesting. Patty Hearst, shit.
You should write that, Dan.
I will write that shit. Mm. So anyway, so we have not talked about our main event for the evening yet, but it's fair to say that there was a strong response to it because there were a lot of texting back and forth of I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to spoil it. But yeah. And that is the 1990 film Blood Games from director Tanya Rosenberg. It all started as a simple game of softball. When a women's softball team wins a game against a group of rough-talking and dirty-playing men, they find themselves unwittingly involved in a new competition with much higher stakes, life and death. After being horribly attacked and assaulted by their male competitors, the women are forced to use both their wits and strength to escape their tormentors and avenge their teammates. However, they quickly find themselves trapped in a deadly cat-and-mouse chase through a nearby forest where violence lurks behind every tree. A shockingly violent revenge thriller that, despite its early 90s release date, is as unflinching in its brutality as the roughest exploitation films of the 70s. Israeli director Tanya Rosenberg's Blood Games is a tense and action-packed exploitation gem starring prolific stuntwoman Laura Alpert, alongside Ken Carpenter, Ross Hagen, Gregory Scott Cummings, and cult character actor George Buck Flower. Vinegar Syndrome presents this long-overdue debut disc of Blood Games in a brand-new 2K restoration.
Say it now. I suspect there's going to be a lot of balls on shins for this review.
George Buck Flower is like a god. I wish that I were. If I could bring somebody back from the dead right now that would make everything going on in the world okay, it would be George Buck Flower.
But which version of George Buck Flower?
Any fucking version of George Buck Flower.
I want you to pick one.
From just a character, a movie, you mean?
Yeah.
God damn.
Well, he thinks about that. I know. I sprung it on him. I'm sorry.
Blood Games, George Buck Flower. Why not? Bring him back and everything would be okay. I think everybody would just hug each other. It's like George Buck Flower's back. It's all over. It's all peace.
I'd like to believe your optimism, Dan, but I don't think there's enough George Buck Flower fanatics for that to happen.
Oh, it will. It will, dude.
Okay.
You work back in your reanimator, sir.
Everyone just to be like, yay, the bum from Back to the Future.
Kumbaya.
No one's going to be like, hey, he did Taking It Off. And Blood Game.
And Ilsa. All right, Pugs, so I know you were, like, I think this movie had you, like, pre-coming probably for the last, like, 2 or 3 days, so.
I wouldn't say pre-coming, but there is one scene in particular. It's 25 minutes in.
Wow.
I cracked my ass off. I was laughing so hard I was in tears. So I don't want to get into spoilers, but there's a certain situation going on. And homeboy's looking for the girl. And there's this... I'm going to start cracking up again. There's a situation here. And this dude, in earshot and probably peripheral vision, but movie logic, he just runs across the street like Bigfoot. And I could not believe what happened. Oh, that part was fucking hysterical. But... So that's my favorite part of the whole movie.
Absolutely. However,
George Miller needs to add a special thank you to Blood Games in Mad Max Fury Road. Holy shit. These bitches are badass. As unbelievable as it is, they kick everybody's ass, which is awesome. But the guys still get a taste, and I appreciate that. This movie is so much fucking fun. I was shocked as shit.
It's crazy that it's like from 1990 also.
This had to be left over from like early 80s, late 70s. Like, you know, I always wanted to make this. Here, go ahead. And dude, all the girls, or at least most of the girls, pretty goddamn hot. So I was like rooting for them, even though like I think they would get their ass kicked in real life. But like, hey, Rambimbo, do your things. Fuck these people up. I liked everyone in this movie, even the villains. So
yeah,
this movie's a goddamn good time.
From the opening baseball scene, it's just hilarious. They're all it sets the tone.
Dude, that back elbow. Yeah, equal rights and lefts.
Did you see the one a redneck in the Rowdy Piper t-shirt?
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
I was going to tell you. I was like, I'm not going to spoil it because.
You know what I like also about it just at the beginning? They don't really explain, like, you know, nothing's really explained. So these are just hot chicks in short shorts that go around challenging random rednecks to, like, baseball games. Because it doesn't really, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like a West Virginia.
But Dan and the cowboy made a, like, $1,500 bet, like a $1,000 bet and $500 to get these hoes out there. It's like, dude, you're losing money. I'd be pissed too.
Dan, did you recognize Holt, played by Don Dow?
Oh, shit. No, I did. That didn't click. Shit.
He's gonna hate himself in about 2 seconds. That was Lex 500 from Test Tube Teens from the year 2000, oh, a.k.a. Wow. Virgin Hunters.
Damn. The cast in this is fucking amazing. I mean, like Pug said, great villains. I forgot George Buckflower was in this, and I knew, like, when he dropped the at the beginning, "Don't let them knockers hypnotize you, boy."
Good life advice.
Did the tone throw you guys off a little bit? Because I'm like, you guys are either really funny or really serious. Like, but then it goes. It's at a certain point in the movie, it just tips to being super serious. Yeah. But so my boy, getting in.
Yeah, it's so weird to sort of become this very light, well, not light, but you know, batshit B movie with this insane premise to, you know, a revenge film, and there's tons of nudity in this. I mean, the shower scene, damn. Like, all the girls, like you said, were looking nice. And I like how they react to Peeping Tom Buckflower. I thought that was pretty interesting. Again, maybe not the most realistic, but pretty interesting. And the action's top-notch, too. Like as crazy of a movie as this isn't really like a what I would call like a cheap exploitation movie. The chase scenes, the fight scenes... this is a pretty kick-ass movie. It's much better made than I think you would expect it to be than from the premise. And, yeah, this is just what the doctor ordered. This movie kicks all kinds of ass. I kind of want to watch it again. It's that good. I want a revival. This is what AMC should put out. This would be, like, on my first, like, just put this out. And you'll fix everything. Bring George Buckflower back from the dead.
Drive in. You open with this. You close with Fury Road. It's a good time.
There you go.
As long as we get Last House in the Middle, I'm good.
Oh, God. I love this movie. It is just perfect. It's one of those films that I feel like probably a lot of people haven't heard of. I mean, I wouldn't say it's unknown. I mean, there are
funny thing about the VHS cover, and it's the other side of the slip on this. Mm-hmm. All the women on the cover are not in the movie, so they just got a bunch of random models to do the not the one we have displayed. That's like, but
yeah,
that's a shame because the main chick, the long legs, black shorts, the stunt girl,
yeah,
nice.
Still nice. Yeah, she has an interview, and I was going to say, like, I'm down for Blood Games, too, with her in it. So if you haven't seen this, I'm kind of spoiling my rating, but this gets the highest recommendation. This is the one where I don't think we can steer you wrong. Again, if you like... Wild.
Well, if you're a little sensitive, it may not be for you, but
you wouldn't have made it through this much of the episode.
But
this is true.
If you stick with it, there's a payoff and, you know, girl power.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Yeah. I should say this, I don't want to recommend it to the ladies out there, but you might like it too. It has its girl power moments.
Okay, here we go. I'm just going to show you guys real quick. There's the other poster.
Oh.
Yep.
Let me That's pissing them. Me off because even the shorts aren't black.
Yeah,
I mean, they're not bad.
When you got the good-looking girls, I'm kind of surprised. Although that's not unheard of. There's a lot of cover art that has, you know, random. There was a famous one, too, where it was a known actress that wasn't in the movie and but did the poster, and I can't think of it right
now. I Spit on Your Grave?
Well, no, that wasn't what – well, that's true, but that's not what I was thinking.
Ants?
Hmm.
Ants has Susan fucking Chrissy – Suzanne Summers' boobs on the cover.
No, I'm not gonna. It's not gonna come to me right now. But there's actually quite a few examples of that.
Well, I just gave two, so
yeah.
I'm glad Dan can think. I'm glad Dan can think of zero.
I know one big hole. I could not, but yeah.
I think it's about to get that.
Yeah, I'm gonna go right out and just say five all the way.
Five.
This is yeah.
That scene alone, though, like there was nowhere to go. It peaked for me at that one scene. I'm like, this movie can do no wrong. I don't care. And it was still good after that. So fuck yeah.
Yeah. Hilarious with actual, like very sinister, cool villains, a lot of skin, a lot of laughs. This movie takes you on a fucking ride and This is among the great titles that Vinegar Syndrome has put out. And yeah, you need this one in your collection. You'll be sorry if you don't. So I highly recommend Blood Games. And on the extras front, we get Playing a Tough Babe, an interview with Laura Alpert that runs 10 minutes. It's kind of interesting. It's a COVID era interview, actually. So she has to kind of beam in.
Oh, wow.
She talks a little bit about... Yeah, no, she looks fantastic. I mean, I'm not kidding. Like, she could be ready to do Blood Games too tomorrow. She looks amazing. And she talks a little bit about her stunt work and apparently still in touch and friends with a lot of the cast, including the actress, I believe, that played Sabrina, who lives down the street from her. So it's kind of intriguing that many connections can stay from a movie like this. And we also have Playing Hardball, an interview with Ken Carpenter that runs 10 minutes. And he talks a little bit about using some of his actual knowledge and some of the woodsy fighting stuff and weapons. They talk about shooting in Shaver Lake and the elements and, also talks about George Buckflower, the late, great George Buckflower. And, yeah, dude, highly recommend it. If you haven't seen this, I envy you because it's such a good time. Blood Games, grab it, crack open some beers, you know, have some friends over. It is an amazing movie.
Yeah. Come on, Dan.
I chanced the Rona to watch Blood Games.
We're not on that.
Yeah,
that is true. I'm not trying to be a negative influence, but it'll put a smile on your face. This one absolutely will be. If you're depressed about some shit, put like
gave me a big smile.
Absolutely, absolutely. So check out Blood Games.
It's and a Todd classic.
Hey, Todd, yeah,
shit, yeah.
All right, so. If you enjoy all of our nonsense, you can get early access to episodes and other exclusive features on patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. It all starts at just $1. So you can support us. We appreciate it very much. We take requests and all sorts of cool stuff. Be sure if you're on Facebook to join the Horror Cartel Flesh Wound Radio group or we'll cut off your fucking head. And like the Flesh Wound Features Facebook page. Stalk us on Instagram and Twitter. And you can also listen to us on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, Spreaker, iTunes, all that great stuff. And yeah, fleshwoundfeatures.com. Appreciate all your business on there. And gentlemen, anything else to plug? Any announcements? I know what I'm waiting on an announcement for.
I actually have something that I was waiting for Pugs.
Oh
no, not an announcement. Just Joel Schumacher.
Oh, is he dead?
What a fuck! No. Yeah, he died yesterday. Or what day was that?
I'm on a news break because I can't take the fucking news. So
sensitive. Okay. Yeah, he passed away. It's on Facebook too and Twitter.
That well, that's why you were making comments about Schumacher. So that makes sense.
And why I was watching Falling Down. It was hard. I was like,
and shit. Like, come on.
I was going through. I was like, because I've seen Lost Boys enough. I was like, do I want to watch Falling Down, Incredible Shrinking Woman, or Flatliners?
So Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. When do you think the top?
Well, no, I'm going to watch those when I rewatch all the films. So those are coming.
Do you consider Batman Forever awful?
No, but I was at the right age. I like as an adult. Well, yeah, I can see why it's a problem. Yeah.
I didn't mind Val Kilmer as Batman.
You know what? Jim Carrey spinning his cane as Riddler. That's the shit. I don't care. I'll forgive that movie. That I started learning to do spin tricks. I almost wanted to join Flag. I never tried out, but like I was like, oh, I can do those tricks. Look. R.I.P. Schumacher, thank you for your good and bad movies. You were a character, and you will be missed.
And watch the classic comedy DC Cabs, another one.
Batman Forever, when it was still cool to like blow up your office.
Okay, whatever Dan's talking about in his manifesto, I guess we'll just leave with that.
Good night, gentlemen.